Radio 4, it's 11 o'clock. And now we continue with our new thriller serial.
Rat Race by Dick Francis. Dramatized in four parts by Martin Reed. And starring Howell Bennett as Matt Shaw. Part 2.
I stared at the exploding ball of fire that a minute ago had been a Cherokee aeroplane. 1 minute, 60 seconds. I made a note never to doubt my instincts again.
Oh, my God. Dear God. Rupert.
Major Tideman was trembling visibly. He gazed in horror at the flames, put a shaking arm round Annie Villers and led her away.
Hey, you! You the pilot of that plane?
I'm the pilot. Just.
We want to see you in the office. Get these people away from the plane. Excuse me, aren't you...
Colin Ross. Yes.
Colin Ross. Right, sir. I'll arrange hospitality.
I take it you're in for a bit of a grilling, Matt.
I think I am.
Still, can't be worse than the steward's inquiry, eh?
Oh, thanks.
I looked at the blazing wreckage. Bring it back without a scratch, Harley said. Trouble. It followed me like the rats followed the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
All over every blasted paper in the land. Champion jockey in photo finish for life. Colin Ross beats Debbie Down Blast.
They also say the pilot's experience saved 5 lives.
You let a passenger into that plane unattended. I should have checked your record. First week here, and I'm minus half my fleet.
It's a curious fact that after a crash, an airline's business actually improved.
Are you suggesting I blow up the Aztec as well? What I do, fire the customers for a cannon? Well, it's the last we'll see of Colin Ross.
Ah, Matt, the air accident investigator wants you in Uncle's office.
I can't wait.
There was a phone call for you earlier from a Miss Ross.
What did she say?
Thought you were marvellous. Hope you're okay and see you soon.
Dear Clarina, can you help me? I've got this combustible pilot who thinks I'm running a dating agency.
When's the replacement Cherokee due?
Any time now. It's third hand and clapped out, but it goes. I'll need your counter signature on the lease, honey.
Lease? Cheaper to buy in the long run.
As it happens, your plane was on hire purchase. We'll be lucky if we get a penny of insurance. And it's not really your business.
Who are you leasing this plane from?
Who do you think, with my luck? Polyplanes.
Pretty, is she, Miss Ross?
She's Colin Ross's sister, for God's sake. I nearly killed him.
You know something. You need looking after.
Oh, come in, Mr. Shaw.
The investigation branch was mild, calm, polite. His name was Sharp.
Sit down.
The investigation branch looked into his plastic cup.
Sorry about the coffee, Mr. Sharp, but the machine makes a profit. Every penny counts, so there you go.
If you're implying the bomb may have been a self-inflicted insurance wound, the department is ahead of you. First, the formalities. You are aware that, as captain, you can be held technically responsible for initiating a flight with a bomb on board.
As if any pilot in his right mind would take off knowing that.
It's an odd rule, I know. So, when you left the aircraft, you naturally made sure it was locked.
Who told you? Polyplane?
How long was the plane unattended, roughly?
First race was the 2 o'clock. I got back just after 4.
I understand you spoke to the polyplane pilot. How's the feud?
Thriving. They'll do anything to put Derry Down out of business since we nicked Colin Ross's custom.
Anything?
And Harley's just had to lease a plane from them. His biggest rival. Nice.
Mr. Shaw, you were a first officer for British Airways. Why did you leave?
I was married at the time, thought I should have been home more. And no, it didn't help.
And I believe you not only hold an airline transport license, but also a flight navigator's certificate.
You also know I was the subject of an investigation on that account when I was at British Interport.
Convicted of gross negligence, but they kept you on.
Mr. Sharp, we both know you have access to the full report, and I don't see its relevance to there being a bomb aboard my aeroplane.
Which brings us back to the point. How, when, who, and why? And we think the explosion occurred just behind the captain's seat.
Charming.
Where apparently you had put the present Miss Ross bought for her sister.
You don't seriously believe...
Could it have been a bomb, weight-wise?
I don't know. I've never weighed a bomb. What was in it?
Well, Miss Ross says a large bottle of fancy bath oil, but we found no fragments of glass or label. Did you look in the first aid tin?
No, I didn't, Mr. Sharp. Nor did I dismantle the fire extinguishers, look inside the life jackets, or slash open the seats.
I have to explore every possibility, Mr. Shaw. We are assuming that Colin Ross was the intended victim. But there is, of course, the matter of yourself.
Me?
Several years ago, as you took out a policy for the absolute benefit of your ex-wife, Mrs. Susan Shaw.
You have been busy.
And she's been, going out steadily with an executive from a major demolition firm.
Clutching at straws here, aren't we? Why not the other jockey? Kenny Baste. He didn't come back with me. Maybe he rustled up a bomb at Haydock.
Mr. Shaw, you might take this a little more seriously.
I am serious. I was on the plane. Look, Mr. Sharp, I don't think the bomb was in the first aid tin or the bottle of bath oil. Maybe the bomb was out of sight between the cabin wall and the outer skin, say. The rough ride dislodged it, jamming the elevator wires. Now, that alarm clock could have been ticking away quietly on the aircraft any time after the last maintenance check a month ago.
I think not, Mr. Shaw, because of what is in this envelope.
What is it?
The remains of an amplifier.
From the plane radio?
From the bomb. We think it was exploded by radio transmission.
Which puts rather a different slant on things.
Are you familiar with the principle?
Vaguely. But the air's full of radio waves. I mean, a random one on the same frequency could set it off.
So you make a combination mechanism. Three different signals fire three different receivers.
And how big would the bomb need to be?
Oh, a tin, about 7 inches by 4 by 2 inches deep.
And the transmitter?
In this case, with three signals, which would have had to travel a long way, about the size of a double pack of playing cards.
And it would take considerable expertise to make one.
Someone used to handling explosives and with a working knowledge of radio, yes. Any ideas?
You're the detective.
I've been reading the whole transcript of your trial.
Rattling good yarn, isn't it?
The chairman of your ex-employer, Interport, has added to the report in pencil what might be considered a highly libelous statement.
I shall sue.
I doubt it. I've jotted it down. He says he is of the firm opinion that your first officer lied throughout, and that it was because of the first officer's gross negligence and not that of Captain Shaw that the airliner strayed so dangerously off course.
I stared out of the window at the bleak wartime airfield. It was like a great black cloud lifting.
Your stock has risen. I thought you'd like to know.
Thank you. And one good turn.
You want to catch the bomber, Mr. Shaw. Here's my card. I'd appreciate your thinking.
I suddenly thought of Nancy, Colin Ross's sister, flying to Haydock with a lunatic bomber on the loose.
Oh, I'll think, Mr. Sharp. I'll think.
Next day, I flew the nobility to Redcar. The Duke of Wessex, big man of 50, with a kind, open face, but not enough living in it.
Don't understand, Ross. Just say you'll ride for me whenever you can, eh?
Bobby's horses are as good as anyone's.
Sorry, Annie. Fully booked. Redcar's easy landing, Matt. Straight down the course.
Hey, you were the pilot last week, weren't you, Shaw? Awful business, but jolly well done you, by all accounts, eh?
Thank you, sir. I'd just like to say I appreciate you all flying with Derry down again.
Must say, it's fascinating sitting up front.
The replacement Cherokee rattled a bit, but made a passable landing. At least Harley had overpainted Polyplane's name with Derry down.
trip. Splendid.
Come along, Bobby. You'll want to look at Harper's Lady.
Jolly good.
And you can meet when you drop it.
Who's replaced Kenny Bass?
Last year's champion apprentice. Best they could get. I'm not taking indirect orders from Goldenberg or a major, if he is one.
Well, I can check if you like. I've got a cousin who works in Army Records.
Poor old Bobby Wessex hasn't a clue what's going on with his horses.
I watch Colin sprint away, off to another business meeting. Thought about the empty wallet in my pocket. I climbed into my seat, mapped out the return, and closed my eyes. A brief, unwelcome image of Nancy with her hippie friend Chanter flashed into my mind. I booted it into touch and went to sleep.
Excuse me, sir. Are you awake, sir?
Hmm? Oh, hello. What can I do for you?
Please, sir, my Uncle Bobby sent me over to fetch you. He's had a winner, and he wants you to drink his health. He says you ought to have a sandwich or something. He's given me £10.
His eager, innocent face glanced round the cockpit. I decided not to offend the ducal sensibilities.
All right, but only for 10 minutes. Come along.
Super! I say, I've never seen inside an aeroplane before. What a lot of dials.
You must get your uncle to take you up.
Actually, I like model trains best, sir. Uncle's got a brilliant layout at his house.
Oh, really? Look, can we drop the sir? It makes me uneasy.
I say, you're not a socialist, are you? I've always wanted to meet one.
Not so you'd notice. My name's Matt.
Really? I'm Matthew too. Wait till I tell Uncle.
Ah, sure. Jolly good. Spot of champagne.
Matthew's getting me a coffee and sandwiches. Well done with Harper's Lady, sir. Nice to have a winner.
Oh, the credit's all Annie's.
Oh, she ran a good race.
I just foot the bills.
Here, Matt! I got smoked salmon. Is that all right?
Oh, I think I can force them down.
Excuse me, sir. Here's your change.
Hmm? Oh, add it to your pocket money, old chap.
Mother says I'm not to keep taking money from you. She says you give away too much.
She would.
I caught Annie Villa's eye. I wouldn't say she blushed, but she had the grace to look a shade uncomfortable.
Matt, that man with his leg in plaster, he looks like a ghost.
A.C. Jones, sitting at a corner table.
Yes. The last time I saw him, he was telling everyone how he'd fallen downstairs and collected £2,000 from an insurance company.
Crikey! Almost worth it. Are the sandwiches all right?
Mmm, lovely. Have one.
Thanks. Mac, what's an underwriter?
I watched the ghost pour another drink for his cronies. More subdued today.
Hmm? An underwriter? Someone invests money in insurance companies in a special sort of way.
I think Uncle Bobby's just become one. He talks about underwriters and Lloyds sometimes.
Does he? Well, you have to be very rich.
Oh, he is. I'm his heir. Mother, that's his sister, says he's too soft. People think he's rather thick, but he's awfully kind.
Well, that's what matters, isn't it?
Matthew looking after you, Mr. Shaw?
Oh, splendid, thank you, sir.
Do you know what, Uncle? His name's Matthew, too.
A couple of Matts, eh? Well, don't let too many people wipe their feet on you.
Matthew enjoyed the joke hugely, but the touch of sadness in his uncle's voice was revealing. I began to like the Duke. I walked back to the plane and wished I'd never left it. A large thug was laying into Kenny Bass.
Jeez, Mike, give us a hand.
Hang on, Kenny. Hang on.
Right, you.
It was tough and it was brief. It had to be. I didn't want his boots busting my kidneys. I chopped hard at his throat and got knocked about a bit, kneed him violently and stuck my fingers straight into his eyes. He aimed one last kick at Kenny and limped away.
Next time, you little arty funk. I told you.
Oh, please. I think my nose is bust. Are you okay?
Apart from a set of sore ribs. Here, lean against the wing. Where's your pilot?
Bastard just walked away. Said he'd got his medical tomorrow.
Oh,
last time I fly body planes.
Want to see the doctor?
Nah. There are too many questions. Hot bath, spill and sauna, good as new by Monday. I'm riding Volume 10 at Brighton.
You can forget that.
Oh, nah, big race. Chance of a better job than I ever had with Villas.
Was she behind this?
No. Nah, that slob Goldenberg.
Uh-oh, here comes my merry party. Oh. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll sit in the Aztec. I don't feel too friendly towards Annie Villas. Cheers, mate. I owe you.
Unlocked the plane, pretended to do some quick checks.
Mr. Shaw, is that Kenny based in the other plane?
What's left of him? He's just been sent what I believe is called a reminder.
What? Well, I dare say he deserved it.
Splendid afternoon, splendid. Gee, I say, old chap, are you all right? Look a bit out of sorts.
He's fine, Bobby. Come along, into the plane.
Right.
Colin ran across. I told him about Kenny.
And Annie thinks I'd ride for her. Hey, you all right?
I'm fit to fly, if that's what you mean.
Made Cambridge just before six.
Mr. Shaw, something for you.
Oh, no, really, sir. It's not necessary.
I insist. Understand it's the form. Look, I shall be flying with you again. Come on, Annie.
I looked at the £50 note in my hand. If this was the form, maybe I'd stick with taxi work. Rested my aching head on the steering column.
Fit to fly, did you say?
That was an hour ago.
Come on, you're coming back to Newmarket for a square meal and a good night's rest.
Harley will go up the wall.
I'll pay the hangarage and leave Harley to me.
I thought of the dingy caravan. I've got a will of iron.
Okay, thanks.
You can meet Midge. And, Nancy's back. We really have got an aunt in Liverpool, you know.
Come on, Birdman. Another brandy.
Give him the bottle, Nancy. I know what it's like taking a fall. Mm.
I thought jockeys were teetotal.
You just wave a bottle of champagne under Colin's nose.
One sister's bad enough, Matt, but identical twins.
How are you feeling?
Sauna, roast chicken and brandy. I think I'm in heaven, Midge. Or is it Nancy?
Oh, can't you tell them? God, we had some fun at school, eh, Midge? Do you remember Miss Fraser?
I could tell, and not just from her red sweater. Midge was thinner, paler, but as lively as a sister.
I've never met anyone brave before.
Oh, it was chance. I landed before the bomb went off. Real bravery is something quite different.
You're talking about my leukemia, aren't you?
When
people try to spare my feelings, it only makes it worse.
Right.
Well, what's the latest on Hunt the Bomber?
Well, not much, except the investigation branch think it was a radio bomb.
What?
Wow. Well,
whoever it is must be disappointed. Mm-hmm. They missed the victim and they ended up with an expensive firework display.
Made me think of giving up being a pilot altogether.
Oh, does that mean you won't be taking me to Haydock next week?
Oh, when did a Ross ever refuse a challenge?
Do you all subscribe to this racegoers accident fund?
We do now. I sent off the premiums yesterday. Damn good idea.
Tell you what it is. Oh, if they're pushing downstairs. Are you, Colin? I'll go to bed. Feeling a bit drained.
You okay?
No. Right. Don't fuss. Nice meeting you, Matt. See you tomorrow.
Night.
Night. I'll see if she's all right. I've made up the divan in Colin's study, Matt. Leave you two hell raisers to it. Night.
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 Well, help yourself to a brandy.
Ah, thanks. Aren't you riding tomorrow?
Day off of sorts. On the phone to owners, trainers. Go down the gallops. Next Sunday, you're taking me to France, okay?
And Tuesday, can you get me from Brighton to Windsor for two races an hour and a half apart?
With fast cars either end, no problem.
And Thursday, Nancy flies me to Haydock.
Midge is a remarkable girl.
How long? No one knows.
In the morning, I helped Nancy plan her route to Haydock.
So, I get myself to the Manchester control zone.
With a bit of luck and a following wind.
Thank you, sister dear. Now, Matt, what if they give me an instruction I don't understand?
Ask them to repeat it.
They'll think I'm stupid.
Better than flying straight into the path of a 747.
Oh, please, God, it's a fine day.
Colin deserves a medal.
Midge!
And how are your bruises, Matt? Sleep well?
I made a note to fall ill in Newmarket more often.
Any time you're passing. You don't need an excuse.
Who is dear old Chanter, Nancy?
Oh, shut up, you. And you can stop grinning, too.
Me? I haven't done a thing.
Cool, ma'am.
I flew back to Buckingham feeling better than I had for years. Harley rolled out the red carpet.
About bloody time. I've just had an hour and a half of Mr. Sharp. I think there's something the matter with that man's brain. He put it to me that I blew up Colin Ross for the publicity.
Well, didn't you?
Oh, why, Lord? Why me?
Next few days were all go. Tuesday, picked up Colin, Kenny, and two other pocket dynamos from Cambridge. What's the routine, then?
Right. All of us to Shoreham, car waiting for Brighton. After the 2 o'clock, me to White Walton for the 4 o'clock at Windsor. You back to Shoreham, Matt, to pick up these three surefire losers. Then back to White Walton for me after I've won the 6:15 and home in time for Coronation Street.
How about a trip to Land's End in between? And that was the business of racing. We made White Waltham before Colin's last race started. Stretched out on the grass in the evening sun.
Hey, Matt. Thought this might interest you. Take a look.
An invitation to all lovers of the turf to join the Racegoers Accident Fund. Yeah. Hey, Flash, where'd you get it?
Guy dropped them into the changing room. Big Aussie on crutches shouting his mouth off.
A.C. Jones?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the name. Read the last bit.
Jockeys, protect yourself against road accidents. Trainers who fly, insure yourself against bombs. Bloody cheek. They're quick off the mark.
Thought you'd like that. We're giving it a go. Maybe they give you cover for getting thumped. I look who's behind it.
I glanced at the address, somewhere in Warwick. Underneath was a discreet line in gold. It read, Patron, His Grace the Duke of Wessex.
It's got to be straight with him in charge, ain't it?
Spent a restless evening in the caravan, drinking a four-pack and smoking too many fags. Who? When? How? Why? Tried again. Names, places, motives. Harley, Polyplanes, A.C. Jones, Goldenberg. Drifted off to sleep with my mind turning like a rat on a wheel. One clue. One tiny piece of the jigsaw. Woke up at 4 a.m. with the moon shining straight through the window and a chance remark of Colin's ringing in my ears. One fact hit me with a bang. At 6 o'clock, it still looked good. I pulled on some clothes and walked across the tarmac to the crew room. I had a call to make. That's great, Pete. Phone me back when you get into the office. Sorry it's been so long. Cheers, mate. Walked round the bleak airfield. It had to be. Started to drizzle. Went back to the crew room and drank as much of Harley's coffee as I could face. The idea was watertight. If Pete found what I wanted.
Oh, hello. You're keen to get on the job, if you'll pardon the expression.
Waiting for a phone call. You had a restless night too?
If you must know, I had an interesting evening with a machine tool salesman. You're off the hook. For the moment.
Ah. Pete, did you get it? Yeah. I see. No, mate. That is exactly what I wanted. Thanks. I owe you. How are the kids?
Well, great. Yes, I'll see you soon. Promise. Bye.
Honey, I've got to go up to London now.
You can't. You've got to fly a crate of mangoes to Newmarket for that jockey.
Uncle can do it. Be a sport. Give me a lift to the station.
Why should I?
Because you can't resist me.
Made the train, found an office block, climbed four flights of stairs, knocked on a door, and walked in. The investigation branch was having its tea and biscuit.
Morning, Mr. Sharp.
Captain Shaw, what the devil are you doing here?
Any time, you said, and I wanted to see you in person. Mr. Sharp, I know who did it.
This had better not be cloak and dagger stuff. I've a ministerial meeting at 10. He wants to know why we haven't got anywhere.
Well, you'll be able to tell him you have. First, the bomb wasn't planted at Derrida. Hmm? It was put on board at Newbury, taken off at Haydock, and put back on again at Haydock. It came with one of the passengers.
Which one?
Major Tideman.
I see. And who planted the bomb on the Major, and who intended to blow him up?
Easy. Major Tideman himself.
Suicide. But the bomb went off when the plane was on the ground.
Precisely. A friend of mine called it an expensive firework display. When a bomb explodes in an aircraft, it's assumed it was meant to go off in the air and kill those on board.
Yes.
But suppose the intended victim was not a person, but the aeroplane itself. The Major was rigidly tense all day, and he wouldn't be parted from his binocular case, which was large enough to carry the radio control device you described. It was the Major who borrowed the keys to fetch his sporting life. He said he locked up again, but he didn't. He wanted to create a little confusion. While he was there, he unscrewed the back panel of the luggage bay, out of sight of the racing stands, and put the bomb against the fuselage.
You haven't a shred of hard evidence.
Mr. Sharp, he sent the signal in front of my eyes. He and I were the last to walk away from the Cherokee. He turned to look back at it, his fingers tapping the binocular case. I thought it was a nervous habit, but it wasn't. He pretended to be angry with me. Poor show, damn poor show and all that. I turned on my heel and... bang.
Now, it's an altogether fantastic theory. And the final flaw is, why?
I haven't a clue.
Now, look, time's getting on. I appreciate that you've done
There's
your best.
There's one other tiny thing.
Yes?
I got in touch with a cousin of mine in the Army Records Office. In the Second World War, Major Tideman was in the Royal Engineers, in charge of a unit which spent nearly all its time in England.
So?
They were dealing with unexploded bombs.
Part 2 of Rat Race by Dick Francis starred Howell Bennett as Matt Shaw. Rat Race is a BBC World Service drama production directed by David Hitchinson.
Part 3 of Rat Race can be heard at the same time next week.